I appreciate that as she sang about the faithfulness of our Lord. Isn't he faithful? Amen. He is so good. The Bible says that faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it, and that speaks of the Lord. And the Lord's promises to us are so wonderful that we can stand on those promises. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And certainly that song spoke to that. So thank you again for that. What a blessing. Great to see you all here today. I hope you're doing well here in the new year. Amen? That should have been a rousing amen, right? Makes me worry, makes me a little concerned. Maybe your year's not going so great. All right, 2025. Isn't that crazy how the time just goes by so fast? It just amazes me. Again, I've talked about it before and made some comments about it, but it's, and as I've mentioned, it's good to talk to young people and ask them that question because, it's usually as you get older, the time goes by, but even young people are saying that the time goes by fast, so I don't feel as old when I ask that question and get that response. But yeah, time is just going by fast. I mentioned that our new theme, and we'll have it up there here probably within the next few weeks. It's redeeming the time. Right out of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16. You know what the rest of that verse says? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Is that not descriptive of what we're looking at? Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, that's always been true, but just like 2 Timothy chapter 3 speaks of, that I've been in the last, that I'll be tonight, and I was in there last week, about perilous times shall come. We're in the last times, and I really believe that. And so this is an opportunity for us. It's always been, but the opportunity just is staring us in the face of being faithful unto the Lord and walking with Him. And today I want to bring a message out of the book of Luke. We'll be in Luke chapter 24 about doubts, about dealing with doubts. What to do when doubts come is really the title of my message. So in Luke chapter 24, and we're going to be looking at, as I would pose it to you, we'll take a little bit of a journey, all right? We're going to be taking a little bit of a journey with a couple of the disciples of the Lord. This was a little trip that they probably made probably hundreds of times. I don't know. It's like a 7.5-mile journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They lived in a town called Emmaus, and it was 60 furlongs, and those 60 furlongs is about 7.5 miles. But this is quite a journey that we're going to read about. And this journey takes place on a very eventful day. It's the day when the Lord resurrected, when the Lord rose again from the grave. So we're going to take a look here as we speak about that third day after the Lord's death at Calvary. There is no doubt, as we read in God's Word, there's a great stir of emotions for those who have followed the Lord Jesus Christ. They see their Savior that they put their trust in. They see Him go to a cross at Calvary. They knew about His promises. But there were still, because listen, there's still that old human nature that we all deal with. They didn't see that maybe quite coming. There were many, many disappointments. There were a lot of disillusioned believers that maybe He didn't overthrow the Roman government because that's what they thought, His coming again, His coming. Is He going to, set up His kingdom and all of that? So there was some disillusionment that had taken place, and they thought that that's maybe what He was going to do, and obviously it didn't happen, that He didn't set up His kingdom with that first coming. So when He died on the cross, many of their hopes kind of slipped away. Not that they'd stopped believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. They believed on Him, and they were saved. But so it was with a couple of these followers that we're going to be reading about. So again, as I mentioned, we find them on a walk from Jerusalem, and they're heading back home to Emmaus. And they don't seem to be doing very, very well, as we will see here in the passage. Something that all of us at times deal with. There are times when we have our struggles. It's part of life, right? There are times when we have our doubts, right? And I see a number of heads nodding. That would be every one of us. Who doesn't have doubts now and then? Even if they are at a low end, maybe minuscule here and there, those of you that walk by faith, and I know we have a lot of you that I'm so thankful for your testimonies, and I know you walk by faith, but we still have things that come into our life. Even the best of us, even Paul struggled here and there, right? No one That's 1,000 with that, right? I think if we look honestly at ourselves and we realize, yeah, I don't always knock it out of the park. There are times when I struggle with some doubts. And so we see a couple of disciples here that are struggling with that. They're very sad. And it was brought on by some doubts that they had. Again, this was the third day after Christ went to the cross. So let's take a look. I'll read verses 10 through 12. We'll start right there. And then I'm going to talk about what to do when doubts arise. So verse 10 says this. The beginning of the chapter speaks about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so that's what this is, what has taken place. When you get to verse 10, it says, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. The fact that they were there at the grave, and they saw that his body wasn't there, and that he had risen. And their words, listen, think about this. Their words seemed to them, because they went to the disciples with this news, this great news, but their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Well, everything that the Lord had spoken about, that he was going to die this terrible death, and he was going to die at the hands of wicked men, and that he would be buried and rise again, and they never seemed to get it. It never seemed to sink in with them. So they speak to them about what they had seen at the grave, and it seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulcher, the grave, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself all that was come to pass. So he goes, he sees the sepulcher. He goes to the sepulcher. He beholds the linen clothes that were laid by themselves, and he wondered what had come to pass. But it's amazing the fact that they looked at these things that the women had spoken of as just idle tales. And so some doubts had crept in. And doubts creep into our lives as well as believers. So with that, let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to take a look at this message, what to do when doubts come. Father, we thank you today, and we're grateful for the opportunity to come before your throne of grace. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done in our hearts and lives, for those of us that know you, what a wonderful thing it is to be saved. Thank you for the fellowship we've had so far, Sunday school class, and the fellowship that we've had here in this service here right now. And we thank you for the singing we've been able to bring forth. We hope and pray that it was honoring to you, that it brought praises unto you as we sang. And thank you for the special that we just heard. And now, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to open up your word. And, Lord, I pray, Father, for your hand of blessing to be upon it. Lord, I always have great concerns because I don't want to be in your way. So I pray, Father, you'd help me, put me to the side. And I pray, Father, that we want to hear from you. It's what we need. We want you to be here in our presence. We pray, Father, that every one of us here have hearts that are like-minded, that, Lord, that we've come with ears ready to hear. Would you help us, Lord, to put all the things off to the side, all of those potential distractions, things that can take us, take our minds away from where they need to be. And so I pray, Father, that you speak to our hearts. We want the Lord Jesus Christ to be lifted up. I pray for the Spirit of God to do his work. So we thank you and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. What to do when doubts arise? And the first thing that I want to bring forth is when we see these two, we're going to take a look here at verses 13, and I'll just read all the way through verse 17, then I'll go back through that. It says, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus drew near and went with them. I think I'll stop right there. So we'll get those last couple verses here just in time. But these two disciples are heading from Jerusalem, and they are heading to Emmaus. And it says here that that they were on this walk. One of them was named Cleopas. As you go a little further, verse 18 tells us his name was Cleopas. And as we read through this whole passage, it says that they that they went 60 furlongs was the distance, as I mentioned a little bit earlier ago, and that's about 7.5 miles. And they're talking about the recent events, everything that took place. And of course, it was all centered around the Lord Jesus Christ. And this first point that I bring out is the sad walk of unbelief, because that is exactly what they are depicting, that as they walk along, there's anything but a pep in their step. Has your body language ever given away how you were feeling? Probably does a lot, right? I mean, if we're in a great mood and things are going well, what are one of the things that you notice on somebody's face? There's usually a smile, right? Yeah, that's kind of how it goes. I mean, unless you're just, you know, your resting face is always on frown, which isn't good. You'll have to work on that one. But listen, we usually kind of give off, you know, with our body language where we're at. People can see it when our shoulders are slumped over, aside from Mr. Arthritis getting involved, you know, with how maybe we walk or so. But no, if we're just going along and we're slumped over and there's a frown on our face and our brow is furrowed, people are going to look at you and go, is everything okay? Are you all right? I think of a good friend of mine. I think I brought this up before. Great friend of mine, Carl. If Carl's watching, I love you, Carl, okay? But Carl would always, I'd meet him, see him for the first time that day. Carl, how you doing? And I don't know how many times Carl would look at me and go, are you feeling okay? I'm like, yeah, I think I'm doing okay. Am I giving off some bad body language? What's going on here? I don't know. Carl would just always say that. I looked at my wife. Do I always look like I'm, like things are, you know, breaking down and my whole universe is breaking apart? I mean, you know, sometimes that's what Carl saw. I don't know. So sometimes our body language will do that, right? So we're taking a look here at a couple of men, a couple of these disciples, and this is a sad walk of unbelief. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he comes and he joins them, but he's unrecognizable to them. We read that there in verse 15, it came to pass that while they communed together in reason, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But it says their eyes were holden that they should not know him. So they didn't recognize this fact, and he comes up to them, and he's going to ask them a question. This stranger comes along. You ever have just some stranger join your company and just begin to talk to you? You know, it's like, where'd this guy come from? You know, somebody just kind of, you know, invites themselves into the conversation. We've all had it happen, and it's like, whoa, you know, and sometimes they bring good stuff in, and sometimes it's like, this guy's kind of cuckoo or something, you know, who knows? All right, I had somebody come recently here to the church, and they came in, and it was just this last week, and they were just telling me how this, you know, the world's falling apart, and I just want to let you know as a pastor, and I'm like, oh, okay, do you know something I don't know here? And it's like, okay, and who invited you here? You know, all of that. It's like, man, I had to kind of work through that dark cloud that he left in the room when he left. Some people do that. Some people have a gift and the ability to do that. Nobody here would ever have that kind of a gift, no. But that would be the last thing that we want to do, is come into a conversation and be an Eeyore. That's the last thing we want. Some of you are like, Eeyore, who are we talking about? Well, ask somebody down the row. I'm sure that they'll know who we're talking about. We don't want to be one of those individuals. We want to be a blessing. So sometimes somebody, yeah, they'll slip in and, you know, it's like, oh, great. But sometimes they add a whole lot to the conversation and they bring up some, oh, well, I'm glad that guy came along. Boy, he brought forth some things that I hadn't even thought about. Well, they're certainly glad when they find out down the road who joined their company here. As this was the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says here in verse 17, he said unto them, he joins them, he walks up alongside them. They don't know it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as ye walk and are sad? He says, what is this manner of communications that you have with one another? You know, I can see that, what are you guys talking about? I can see something's happening here. And he says, and why are you guys so sad? Listen, sometimes things kind of get out of our control. Sometimes things get to a place where, you know, we allow things to just mount up. and we haven't dealt with it in the right way. We'll see as we go along this message what the Lord is trying to teach us through this passage about what we're supposed to do when those doubts come. But sometimes we just let them pile up. And sometimes some things do come into our lives that are difficult for us to try to process through. Life will hit us hard at times. It says this in Psalm 138 and verse 3. In the day when I cried, thou answerest and strengthened me with strength in my soul. You know, it's always good to go to the Lord when we're going through these times. It says in Psalm 142 and verse 3, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. Listen, we found ourselves in that place many times as we go along in this journey, that there are times that things just overwhelm us. And these two disciples, well, we'll see that there was a big error on their part, all right? But they allowed this thing to just overcome them and overwhelm them. It happens with every one of us. You ever watch that episode, I Love Lucy? I can't find I Love Lucy reruns anywhere right now, right? But I love I Love Lucy, all right? Way back, they made that. You remember, I don't know if you've watched this. You need to watch it. Your life wouldn't be fulfilled if you haven't watched this one. But when Lucy works in the chocolate factory. So Lucy's in that chocolate factory, and, you know, she gets trained, and she sits there, and the conveyor belt is bringing these little chocolates that she's supposed to put in boxes, and everything's great for a while, right? They're going on, you know, she's putting them in place, and Ethel, and they're both working together, and then all of a sudden, the boss comes in and says, oh, you're doing a great job, and walks out and speeds up the conveyor belt, and that thing starts coming faster, and she's, oh, wow, all of a sudden, the greater challenges, and they're trying to stick them in the box, and it's just not happening. It's going by too fast. All of a sudden, they're raking them all up and throwing them under their hat and inside their, you know, their apron and the whole thing. And sometimes life can do that for you and I. Sometimes life can just get overwhelming, and it's like, who turned up the conveyor belt? Well, listen, life does that to each and every one of us at times. When you're caught up in all this emotional turmoil that we see these disciples were at, we can relate to that. This sadness begins to take over, an unbelief that these two had. This 7.5-mile journey now begins to seem more like 107.5 miles as they just shuffle along. But even though your life and my life might become chaotic and it might become excessively busy, it should still be a life that's filled with joy. It ought to be for you and I. That's where what God's called us to be. That's what God has called us to have, to possess in our lives. That's what we're to show forth to others, that it ought to be a life that's filled with joy, even when a whole lot comes onto our plate. If not, then folks, it's not a walk of faith. We're not learning how to walk by faith. And Christ, here's something again that as we look at this, and they didn't recognize the Lord Jesus Christ, when we're not walking by faith, then the Lord and his blessings become unrecognizable for you and I. Well, I hope that sticks, because the Bible says that daily he loadeth us with benefits. There are things that come into our life over and over that are blessings, but if we're being overwhelmed by life and we're not accepting the promises of God and of Christ from his word, then we're not going to recognize those things. We're just going to be on the seamy side of life. We're going to be frustrated. We're going to be negative. We won't see when God's blessings come our way. And believe me, folks, there are tons of them. As that word says, the daily he loadeth us with benefits. Loadeth us. All it takes is just a simple little bit of a observant eye, and we will see blessings all over the place. And I pray that on a regular basis. I say, Lord, help me. I don't want to be, going through the motions. And I don't want to take things for granted. But I want to be able to see these blessings along the way and be thankful for them. Because that's a good place for you and I to be. Because when we're on the other side of the equation, it's not good. And we won't recognize what's taking place. And these two disciples didn't recognize that that was the Lord Jesus Christ who had slipped up right alongside them. But folks, know without a doubt that the Lord is, he's doing something in your life. He's come to do something in their life.
And they weren't aware of it. And I'll say that maybe today, if you're struggling with some doubts and you're questioning some things and you're wondering why, well, listen, we all get there, but it's not a good place to stay there. It's a good place to pivot and turn back to the Lord. And I would encourage you, and I would exhort you today to just turn back to the Lord and ask Him to help you with those doubts. Ask Him to help you with what you're facing and what you're dealing with at the moment. And I'm sure in a crowd this size that there are those of you that maybe have been struggling with some doubts. Now, I'll say this, if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then it's our overwhelming desire. We want to see you get saved. We want to see you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior more than anything. And we certainly want to be here to help you with that, to show you from God's Word what He says and how we can know that we have eternal life. And so if you're here without Christ, then please see one of us. We'll show you from God's Word how you can be saved and know that you have eternal life. Because if you're not saved, then obviously you've probably got some questions about where am I going to go when I die? And it's a great, great, precious promise and great assurance for every one of us who knows Christ that, wow, I know I'm saved. And I know I'm going to be with the Lord. Yeah, I'm not perfect. We have this old nature and we still struggle with sin, but I know that Jesus Christ lives inside my heart. We sang about that in numerous hymns earlier, but we certainly sang about how He's just a great, great Savior that lives inside of our hearts. Now, again, for those of us who know Him, know this, that He is working in you all along the way, and many times unforeseen. Yeah, there's just things that we're not going to really be able to spot and know, but man, let's give all glory to God, whatever it is that takes place, because nothing happens to us by happenstance or just by chance. God is orchestrating and working in your life just as He is in mine. And as we acknowledge that to the Lord, it honors Him because it's learning how to walk by faith. Which brings me to the second point, and that is about the divine circumstances along the way. All right, the divine circumstances that take place for us along our journey, as we go along this journey. Let me encourage you, and I encourage myself as well, don't ever question what's going on in your life. Now, yeah, you know, our minds might go there, and we may think those thoughts, but it's good to take them to the Lord and say, Lord, you know where my mind's thinking, and I'm thinking this very thing, but I want to get to the place where I don't question those things. I want to get to the place where I'm not questioning You, because I know that You're involved in every part of my life. And I want to be certain of that. I want to be fully convinced and know without a doubt, because Your Word tells me that you're drawing up everything in my life. And I'll trust You with that, that You are involved in every detail. Folks, it's good to know that He's part of every detail in your life. Even the ones that feel like, oh, God couldn't have any part of this. And look where I've been. I've been away from the Lord. Well, look at these guys. The Lord's going to admonish them in just a little bit, even more than just an admonishment. It was a rebuke. But He was there for them. And He was there to walk alongside them and to bring them along. And He's doing the same for you and I, even when we fail Him. So as you fail Him and as I fail Him, know that the Lord has not deserted us. And He won't forsake you and I. He'll always be there. He's ready for us to just simply call on Him for forgiveness and for direction, and the Lord will do that. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about me and my life, so He knows every detail. David said this in Psalm 139, in verses 7 and 8, he said, "Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Where will I go from Thy Spirit? Whither shall I flee from Thy presence? Where could I flee to get away from You?" It's not something David was wanting to do. He's just bringing this up. And obviously, he's led by the Spirit of God to write this. And he says, if I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. Well, of course, you would say yes, because God's in heaven. But then he says this, if I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. It doesn't matter where I go, Lord. If I'm up in heaven, You're there. Here on the earth, You're there. If I were to go down into hell, You'd be there. David was convinced that the Lord was there with him everywhere he went. And you and I, if there's anybody struggling with that here today, you just need to know and get it settled and work this out between you and the Lord, because the Lord will give you deliverance from that if you struggle with that. It's just to know the Lord is with me. He's with me always. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a grand promise. Just to know, man, he is always there. Folks, that there are times when that just got me over the hump, just knowing that, over the hurdle that was before me, over the challenge that was in front of me. I just knew the Lord was there, and he tells me over and over, I can say with all boldness, and I'm not quoting the verse right in Hebrews 11:6, but it says that I can say with all boldness, or I can say boldly, that the Lord is my helper. The Lord is there to help you and I. Isn't that great? Isn't that just encouraging to you and I? It certainly is. What a great, great blessing. All right, so let's read again here. Now I'll read verse 17 again. We just went through that verse. He said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? So he's asking them, you know, what's going on? Why are you guys so sad? What's happening? And so as he asks them about their sadness, they say in their response, basically, what? Are you some stranger? Like, have you been living in a cave? Now, I didn't say that in the passage, okay? But like, where have you been? I mean, haven't you gone online and read about the things that are taking place right now? I mean, where have you been? Have you been way out in another country? They wondered about this man, this gentleman who walked up alongside them and asking about what's going on, and they're, where have you been? Have you ever done that with somebody and they just kind of come in, maybe, you know, a little clueless, you know, or maybe they just weren't there at that exciting happening, and you're like, you weren't there? You mean you didn't see this on, you didn't know? And you're like, no. You know, I'm usually the last one that finds out things anyway. You know, sometimes we're like that. Sometimes I'll come into a room and it's like everybody's laughing, and it's like, you always kind of get at the tail end of the joke. How many of you ever, that happens to you? There's a lot of you. All right, I'm in good company. All right, it happens. You just feel like, I just didn't get all this. But I love this. It says, where were you? I mean, what, are you a stranger in these parts? And I love how Christ prompts them with this question when he says in verse 19, he said unto them, what things? All right, think about it, right? Here is the one, this is God manifest in the flesh. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. He spoke. Christ created all. He's the great creator. And they're saying, well, what, don't you know what's taken place? All of the things that have happened here in this last week, but even further back from that, but especially here in this last week and in these last few days, don't you know what's happened? And he says, well, what things? You know, I say this with all reverence, but the Lord Jesus was playing dumb. God Almighty. He's just like, well, what things are you talking about? You ever done that? Sometimes it's okay maybe to play dumb at times. Maybe it kind of will open up something. Well, I think the Lord was going to open up something with this. And then you go on here in verses, the rest of verse 19, where it says this, he says, and they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priest and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. So they're saying, you didn't hear about the Lord Jesus and about what took place? Well, basically, the Lord is allowing this to all come out. They're basically going to spill their guts, okay? Yeah, you ladies are like, well, that's kind of, you know, harsh language, but that's what us guys say. Yeah, we'll just let them spill their guts, all right? Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a great prophet, mighty in word and deed, how he was condemned to death and then crucified. And then verse 21 says, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Well, we had trusted, it said, we had trusted that he would redeem Israel, but it's not looking that way. We're kind of leaning like we don't think so, because today's the third day and nothing is going on here. Yeah, they are spilling their guts, aren't they? When the Lord says, what things? I want to hear it from you. You know, there's some wisdom in that. I've talked with Brother Jones before, Brother Jason, and it's kind of a good technique when you're dealing with somebody who's guilty of something when they incriminate themselves. Right, brother? You know that. You've had to deal with that. It's a whole lot better when somebody kind of spills the beans on themselves rather than you saying, you're guilty, you're guilty. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. But when we get to that point and we've kind of incriminated ourselves, it's a whole lot more, there's a whole lot more there to get your hands on. Right? So the Lord, I think this is actually very, very good to see this, because they're just going to, you know, they're going to cut themselves off at their own knees here. So they said, well, you know, it's the third day and nothing is going on here. And so we haven't seen those promises that he gave to us. Oh, shame on you. But I have a feeling that maybe if we were in the same spot, maybe we might do the same thing. I don't know. But it says here in verses 22 through 24, yea, and certain women, they continue to go on. They're just digging a deeper hole. And certain women, you know those women, they can just talk and they can elaborate and they can build these stories. And so, you know how the women are. Now, the women were more faithful than these men were. And he says, yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. So again, they put it off. Well, the women said this, but I don't know. They said he was alive. Some of the men went and looked in the grave, but they didn't see him. And you know, again, you know how stories can get, blown up way out of proportion, and people can get emotional, and they can say things that they didn't actually see, and so they're telling this stranger all of these things. Yeah, we just don't have any real proof that he's risen again. So, yeah, we're walking along, and yeah, maybe our communications are a little bit sad. Then the Lord, I love this, the Lord turns a corner here, and he pounces on these two. By the way, blessed pouncing, right? I mean, this is good, because the Lord is going to kind of set things straight. The Lord is going to not only exhort and admonish them, he's going to rebuke them. We take a look at verses 25 and verse 26 when it says here, then he said unto them, O fools. I wonder the tone of his voice. I wonder the volume that he used. I don't know, but it says, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Here is where the Lord seems to say, these poor guys don't deserve my correction, but I just love them too much to give up on them. I just love my children too much to give up on them. The Lord does that for us. How many times have we let the Lord down? Because we haven't walked by faith. And we have, you know, treaded on his commandments. We have resisted his commandments. We have digged our heels and been indignant with some of the things he's tried to do and to show us in our lives. And yet God is merciful and God is long-suffering. I'm glad that he's long-suffering with you and I. And he puts up with an awful lot. And he waits us out. And he'll deal with us. The Bible speaks about his chastening, but it's always lovingly. He chastens his own. He doesn't chasten those that are of the world. They're not his children, but he chastens you and I. That's good. I mean, when your children were off doing something that was wrong and they were foolish and they didn't really think something through, didn't you take the time to show them and teach them what the right thing to do was? And maybe there was some consequences as a result of what they did. Maybe they had to be paddled or whatever you had to do to them, but you loved them, and you were trying to show them the right way to do something. You didn't just leave them go about. No, That would be a negligent parent. You took care of the situation. You faced it and you dealt with it. And God does the same for you and I. And I'm so grateful that He does. And the Lord didn't pull any punches here. The Lord shows them they're wrong, and He comes straight out and says, "Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." So He caught them red-handed, and they had no excuse. Unlike my daughter Hannah, way back in the day when she was 3 years old. When she was three, I found her at the kitchen table. I'm seeing her back there. She probably remembers this. And she's there at the kitchen table with a whole bunch of donuts. She's all by herself, and she's a donut mess. And I said, "Hannah, look what you've done. Look at the mess that you've made with these donuts." And she said, "Oh, Daddy, it's not my fault. It's the donuts' fault." Nice try, Hannah. Nice try. Well, listen, that was her excuse. It didn't fly very well. Okay. We're dealing with a three-year-old. Listen, these guys didn't have an excuse. And so He chides them. He lectures them. He rebukes them and scolds them. A stern rebuke. A verbal punch in the face. But we need that at times, don't we? We need that. We need to be shaken up. You know, folks, I think you get the picture. We've got to have that. That's why I've said many times, sometimes preaching will do that. Preaching will just be a punch in the face if the Lord uses it and speaks to your heart and to mine. I've had that happen many times where, "Lord, man, I felt like I was the only one that God was speaking to in the congregation that day. And God was just working me over, and I felt like I was in a spiritual pool of my own blood because God was just working and the Spirit of God and the Word of God was cutting me in pieces, but I needed it." And many times I found my way to the altar and said, "Lord, You spoke to my heart. Help me. Thank You." The Bible says, "Despise not prophesyings." It's good for us to take those rebukes from the Lord. Amen? A good question to ask yourself and for me to ask myself, can we take a sharp rebuke without being so offended? Can we do that? Or do you say, "Well, you can just leave now. I don't want to hear that." You know what? We're open to that response as well. Maybe we don't want to hear it, and we just walk away. I don't need to hear that. Listen, it's good to take the rebuke from the Lord. And these men took that rebuke. Again, folks, it's good when we've gotten to the place where we say, "No, I've sinned. I've sinned before the Lord, and I want to get it right. And thank You, Lord. I mean, I knew it, but I was hiding from it, but You revealed it very clearly to me." It's very good for us to learn how to take rebuke, not to be so reactional. Get a good rein on our emotions. Listen, consider. God can do things with people who listen. God can do things with those of us that are instructable. Amen? When we're teachable, God can work with us, and He can do some great, great things. I think we stagnate or slow down our development when we're not teachable. There's no doubt we do. We begin to slow down our pace of progress when we hit those spots and we don't want to listen because we don't want to take God's rebuke. And listen, they did, as far as these two. He begins to go through His word with them now. Whether He is just doing it verbally or maybe He had some parchments, I don't know. But I mean, He is the Word of God Himself. And it wasn't hard for Him to just say these verses from the top of His head. You know, just they were there. I don't know if He had some actual scriptures and showed them along the way. But He begins to open it up, and they soaked in everything that He spoke of as they walked along that road. They were literally, they were spellbound, if I could use, without using another word that I can't think of for the moment. They were spellbound, they were mesmerized. It's like, wow. And He is revealing some things through this, as they go along, and this walk. And this walk, you think, as He begins to speak to them back from the book of Genesis, and as He goes forth, throughout the Old Testament, and He begins to go from Adam and Eve, and maybe he goes into Noah and to Abraham and Isaac, and he begins to talk about these. You know, as you begin to be interested in something, it just seems to, I think their walk probably slowed down. Wait a second. I had never seen that before. I hadn't seen that with Abraham and with Isaac. And what happened there in the book of Esther, it's interesting that the word God is not even used in there, but I see that. Wow, that is amazing. I had never noticed. I'm sure there were times along that journey that they stopped and asked him questions. Yeah, that is amazing. That is really something. What an eye-opener. Can you imagine that as they're walking along? They're walking along, and I would just have loved to have seen this journey as it went along. I like what it says here in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, if you just turn there, and we'll just read this, and we'll get back to the passage. Psalm 119, it says this in verses 97 through 104. We'll just read through that real quick. 97, verses 104. And this is about the Lord as he reveals his word to them, and it's being opened up. And it says here in verse 97 of Psalm 119, Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding. There's a lot of the times understanding is used here in this little short passage of 8 verses. He says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. The Lord was revealing things to them, and their eyes of understanding were being opened as they went along the way. And as we'll read a little bit later, it says, did not our hearts burn as he opened up unto us along the way those verses of Scripture? Yes, they were going along and God was working in their heart. You know what? God does the same thing in our lives as we get into that book. And as we seek it, and as we ask the Lord to help us, he'll reveal some things, many things. And that's what they were experiencing, which now brings us just to this final point. And this final point is God's ultimate goal for us as we journey along. God's ultimate goal for us, and I'll bring that out as we journey along, it is for him to be glorified in us. It's for the Lord Jesus Christ to be lifted up. It's also for us to be strengthened in Christ. Through everything that we go through in this life, the Lord is always seeking to point us to his word. I say it many, many times, but it is so true to be in this word. I encourage you to be so. And to do so, which again ultimately points to the Lord Jesus Christ. As he says there in verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So he pointed to the Lord Jesus all along the way through these passages. Yeah, we see it. We see it like we've never seen it before. Let me encourage you, Christian, to stay in his word. The Bible tells us that it says in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It's to dwell in each and every one of us richly. That means to a good degree, that it's there, that it's right there in our heart. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God. Amen? So they get now to Emmaus, and this journey is coming to an end, and the Lord is planning on continuing down the road. And it says there in verse 28, that they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. The Lord is going to continue to keep walking, and this is where they get off, here at Emmaus, and their house is not far away, but these two disciples won't have that. They're like, where are you going? They wanted more. They wanted to hear more about what they had been hearing and what they had been seeing from the Word of God. They had begged the Lord to stay with them. And verse 28 or verse 29 now, it says, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. You know, there's just a great picture right there about how much we want the Lord's company when we're reading our Bible. Do we just read the Bible, like with the chapters that we have set for that day? Or do we look to have fellowship with the Lord? There's a big, huge difference. There's a big, huge difference in just kind of checking off the box. Then, Lord, as I read your word, you are the author of this book, and you live in my heart, but I want your presence here. I want you to speak to my heart. I want to sit quietly and read it and let you speak to me. That's a whole different approach, isn't it? And I want to exhort you and myself to do that. Because there's times when I'm in a rush, and I've read through the Word of God, and then I'm thinking, I don't think I let the Lord have an opportunity to speak to my heart. I just kind of went quickly through it so I could check the box that I stay up with my Bible reading, but I didn't give the Lord an opportunity to speak to my heart, to let His Word do something inside of my life. I think we do that sometimes, don't we? Boy, might we have a better approach. I'm not saying you don't have that approach, but maybe in regard to that particular issue with looking unto the Lord to teach us and to reveal some things to us, maybe we're a 4 or a 5 or a 6 on a scale of 10 to do that. That's not terrible. That's not half bad, but if we are, maybe we should say, Lord, I want to become more of a 7 and an 8 and a 9. I want to go more days this year with that approach and letting you speak to me. Because I'll tell you, when you get to the end of this trip, these guys are unrecognizable from what they were at the beginning of the trip. They're two totally different guys when this whole thing has played itself out. When they get to the last part of these 7.5 miles, and now the Lord, after they constrained him, wait a second, no, stranger, don't keep going. We're having great fellowship, please. Our home is not too far from here. Please, would you come? Please come. We're just having a great, great time of fellowship with you. What great company. Thank you for joining us. Please come. Do we do that to the Lord? Do we pray before we come to church? Lord, we need you here. We need your presence here. Because, folks, if we do things just out of habit, or we've got this great program and we do things out of routine, we do things mechanically, we're like a well-oiled machine, but the Lord's not here, it's all for naught. It's all for naught. It's just, it's just a show of vanity, like Solomon would say. It's all vanity and vexation of spirit. Although, like the Laodicean church, I think they just deceived themselves into thinking that, oh, yeah, we're doing just great. Boy, what self-deception that is. May we come to a place where we don't deceive ourselves into thinking, oh, yeah, well, we got all these programs, and we do all of this, and we do all of that. And the Lord's on the outside going, I wish I could be in those services. It's the last thing we want. We want the Lord to be here. And we want the Lord to be not only here corporately as a church, but also individually. It ought to be that way in your life. It ought to be that way in my own personal life. Amen? So the Lord is trying to show us the kind of spirit He wants us to have in our relationship with Him. Stay in prayer, brother and sister in Christ. Stay in prayer and stay in His Word. Stay close to Him as you travel along life's road. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And we take a look here at verses 30 and 31. This is amazing. It says, and it came to pass as He sat at meat with them. He's now in the home with them. They still don't know this is the Lord Jesus. But He sits at meat with them. And He took bread and He blessed it and broke and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew Him. Wow, that's amazing. Listen, let me say this. You and I need to make sure that we maintain fellowship with the Lord. And when we do that, something happens. You'll begin to see his blessed hand in everything that happens to you and I. You and I will begin to recognize that's the Lord. They now see that this is the Lord after he prays and he blesses the bread and the meat. And they look at him, it's you, Lord. And as quickly as they say that, we'll see what the second part of that verse says. But they recognized him. Folks, this is a huge transition maybe, or a graduation in our spiritual life. As if we're doing things just mechanically, we're not really going to really know the Lord as we ought to. Remember Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 in verse 10, that I may know him, that I may know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. And as he continues, he says that I may know him. He's not talking about that I may know him as my Savior. I already know him as my Savior, but I want to know him deeply. I want to know the Lord intimately. I mean, are we at that point where we just have special time with the Lord? We just get before the Lord in a quiet place, and sometimes we don't even say anything. We just have that fellowship with the Lord, and we think, Lord, I want to know you better. I want to know what makes your heart tick. I want to know everything that you're grieved about. I want to get to a place in my life that's honoring to you. Do we take that time? Do we have that fellowship? Folks, we get to a place like that in our life. The Lord is revealed to us in a way that we've never seen him before. And we're aware of things that take place in our life. And Lord, that was from you. And that was from you as well. Thank you. And sometimes it's not even a positive thing. Lord, I know you allowed that. Pretty unpleasant, but I know you're bringing it in for a reason, and I acknowledge that. Thank you for that. You're doing something. It's good when we do that, because the Bible says that the Lord should be our confidence. He should have our full trust. And believe me, I'm speaking to me more than anybody here, but we ought to walk with the Lord on a daily basis in that regard. So they begin to see now something take place here. I love it when I get together with believers and they're just excited about what God's doing in their life. And I won't go into any specifics, but it is a blessing when someone says, you know, I've been watching, I've been seeing God do some things in my life, and I recognize that. And then the last part of verse 31, and we'll finish right here, it says this, and he vanished out of their sight. Wouldn't you like to have been a fly on the wall that night in that Emmaus home? Wouldn't you? Yeah, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ had got them to a place where they understood, and then they could see who that stranger was all those miles. And then the mission was accomplished, he vanishes. Because the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. We're to walk by faith and not by sight. We don't need to have visions from the Lord all the time. We're to just walk by faith and know the Lord's right with me. I have this fellowship with him, and I walk with him. And I can see him through this word. And I can see him working in my life. And I don't always see it, because there's times when there seems to be a silence. But I know, he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So I know he's there. What a wonderful thing. Here is that blessing that God gives to his children when they learn to trust him. They said, did not our hearts burn within us? Verse 32, they said one to another, after he had vanished, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? You know, they were well aware, and that was the Lord. And the Lord was doing something in our lives, and they were excited. And verses 33 through 36, and I will read those, okay, because it just brings out something that just changed their lives dramatically. They rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Well, folks, we'll just wind it up this way. This journey that we're taking, is it a walk of faith? Are we is our life kind of indicative of that first part of the journey where we're just sad and we don't have much faith and everything is just a downer and we don't see God's promises? That first mile and a half or however how far it was for those disciples was sad. Is that describing you and I? Or has it gotten to a place where, you know, God's rebuked us and revealed some things unto us and he's dealing with us and we recognize that? Maybe that's a good place if we're there. That's a good place for starters. Or maybe we're along the way and we're just listening and the Lord's revealing and he's teaching and we're soaking it all in. And that's a good place to be in the journey as well. And then can we relate to being a part of that last little bit when they're in the house there in Emmaus? And now the Lord has opened up. They realize that was the Lord speaking to us. Did not our hearts burn within us? And they realize that was the Lord's presence. The Lord was with us. Folks, does that describe your walk with the Lord? Or is it the first part of that journey? Where are we in our walk with the Lord, in this journey with him? What do we do when doubts arise? Folks, we need to go to the Lord. And we need to go to his word. If you're here without Jesus Christ, then I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You can know today without a doubt that you're saved and on your way to heaven. Would you bow your heads with me at this time? Just a moment, we'll have a hymn of invitation. If God's speaking to your heart about this journey that you and I are taking, maybe there's just a lot of doubts. Maybe we're not looking unto the Lord to do his work in our lives. And we're not trusting him as we should. Then maybe God's put his finger on that. There's times when God looks at us and says, "Thou fools, and slow of heart, all to believe that everything that has been revealed to you," God's revealed an awful lot to us. We're accountable for a lot, for many of us. Are we following up on that? Are we faithful to just trust the Lord with what he's revealed to us? Maybe God's spoken to your heart today. And as we sing this hymn in just a moment, and I just ask you to respond to that. If you're here without Christ, then we want to make an invitation for you to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Father, would you help us? Help us to just simply trust you. Help us to walk with you in this journey of life as we go along. Help us to learn to walk by faith. Lord, if there's somebody here without Christ, I pray you'll work in their heart and bring them to the Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand and